We return tonight to God's Word in the Epistle of Jude. We've come tonight to verses 22 and 23. Reading the general Epistle of Jude, that is, Jude writes not to a specific church, but to the churches, to the Christians of his day. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. and of some, have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let's read our text once again, verse 22 and 23. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I count six ways that Jude, as a pastor, the Holy Spirit, has taught us of how we must personally persevere in the faith that has once been delivered unto the saints. The little epistle of Jude is about preservation. It's about keeping our souls safe unto life eternal. The need to persevere in our faith, not because in Jude a seductive world around us, but because of apostasy that will happen in the Christian church, a falling away under false doctrine and an ungodly life, creeping at first into the church and then taking over the church. And thus, we are called as a church and as a believer to contend, to persevere, to fight the good fight of faith. I find, beginning in verse 17 through 21, that Jude has given us six ways to persevere. Remember the apostolic doctrine. Know the truth, the Bible, the doctrine. Remember apostolic doctrine, verse 17. Number two, be prepared to be mocked and ridiculed. The apostles, says Jude, verse 18, told you that you would be mocked. Be prepared to be mocked for what you believe. Number three, stand united in the church in truth. Verse 19, these be they who divide you. And at that time, we pointed out positively, false doctrine negatively divides. Truth unites. Be united. Number four, keep yourself in the love of God. Verse 21. Meditate upon God's love for you. Number five, build yourself up by study and prayer. Verse 21 or verse 20, building up yourself on your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Number six, look for the return of Christ. The last part of verse 21. Remember apostolic doctrine. Be prepared to be mocked. Be united in truth. Keep before you the knowledge of the love of God. Build yourself up by study and prayer. Live with an eye to the Lord's coming. Now in verse 22 and 23, Jude changes the focus from our own responsibility for ourselves to our responsibility to each other. Specifically, of our responsibility toward those who in the Christian church are influenced, deceived by these false teachers, those who are departing, those who are being led astray, and even those who are further progressed, all the way progressing further down the road of departure and sin. James says, Jude says, they have their foot in hell, almost. Pull them out of the fire, and their life is soiled and covered with sin. The garments are spotted with the flesh. Jude now calls us to be active in helping those who stray from the faith once delivered unto the saints, those who stray in Christendom. He says to us that our approach is not going to be the same. We must make a difference or a distinction. Some who are doubting have compassion. Others, you must be more urgent. You need to pull them right now. Warn them. Pull them out of the flames. And with others, you need to be careful about your own purity, because their garments are spotted by the flesh. You need to have wisdom and love and prayer. But the point that Jude is making is a change of focus from our own perseverance, now in love, to go after in love those who are departing. In an age of widespread departure from the faith, and then an age in which the culture says, well, if you got your own, if you got it, don't worry about anybody else. In that age of Cain who said, God said to Cain, where's your brother? Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for him? Yes, you are. In the body of Christ, in Christendom, we are responsible for each other. And so now the question before us tonight is, are we doing this? Is this truth of perseverance, is this aspect of contending for the faith also present in us? Not only a concern for our own selves and our own church, but also for others. Has the self-centered age rubbed off on us? Do we say, well, we have it. We're saved. I'm saved. I don't care about anybody else. Vulnerable people. People who have lacked discerning, who have been under false teaching, people upon whom the devil seeks to prey, people who are not only enamored in false teachers, but members of the church whose lives following that false teacher has fallen now into flesh, into the sins of the flesh, so that their life is in a mess. We say, oh, I don't want to be involved in that. Do we say, it's no sense. There's no sense talking to them. Jude says to us tonight that the preservation of the saints is done in the communion of saints, that we may not stand idly by, but that we have a calling to preserve one another. That will be our theme, preserving one another, pointing out to you the great peril, the careful discerning of how we will help, and the only proper motivation. These verses are pointing out to us the great peril that comes into the lives of the members of the church who follow false doctrine, or into that church which allows false doctrine. The false teachers, just very briefly, that Jude has warned, or the false doctrines and false teachings against which he has warned, are especially two. These false teachers, according to verse 4, turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. That is, the truth of saved by grace, they took to mean you can do whatever you want, especially with respect to the body, because you're saved by grace. So the first, and this is true of false doctrine, the first attack was against grace. The second, and Jude has brought this out repeatedly, these false teachers rejected any type of authority, the authority of God's Word. They despised dominion, authority. And instead, they relied upon their own thoughts. That is, they just rejected the authority of God's Word. They said God's Word has mistakes. So the false teaching that enters the church, very briefly, always centers around grace and makes grace not grace. And the false teaching that enters the church is always centering around the Word and says it's not the Word. Now in verses 22 and 23, Jude exposes three results, three perils that come to the members of the church when this false teaching has entered in. And the first is doubt. We could begin verse 22 translating it, convince some who doubt. And especially when Holy Scripture is questioned, when Holy Scripture is considered to be not completely reliable in what it says, then the result will be that a generation will grow up in the church of doubt and confusion. The questioning of the teachings of the Reformed creeds and of the Reformed church. And they will say, well, we used to think that in a bygone era, but we're now postmodern, and we have to re-understand that truth is always evolving. And the church believed something one day, 100 years ago, and now we've developed to this, and maybe 100 years from now, we'll believe different things again. We used to believe in creation in 6 days, but we know that can't be. We used to say to young people that sex is only for marriage, but now, that's not so. We used to say that marriage was a man and a woman, but that's not true anymore. And the result is doubt. Young people are taught to doubt. Truth gives certainty. Truth, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Truth, Luke chapter 1, these are the things that we most assuredly believe. But this false doctrine brought doubt. And among the adults, well, it feels good that we can be released from all those things that we used to believe, that stuff. The second peril of the false doctrine intensifies. Some were leaving the faith. Jude refers to pulling them out of the fire. And the fire is a reference to the fire of hell. Now we know that a true believer in Christ Jesus, for whom Jesus died, will not be suffered to perish. Yet the false doctrine is putting one on a slide which, if God's grace does not intervene, would result in a slide to hell. If none of this is true, If what the false teachers are saying, that this is not true, the Bible is not true, what I was taught is not true. What my mother taught me as a little boy or little girl, when they took out the Bible story book and she read me the Bible stories, and the minister taught in first and second grade catechism. If now they tell me with a bemused smile, you know, none of that is really true. It's okay. It's okay that it's not true, but it's not true. We're glad your church believes that. But they are now taught, youth are taught, but I can't. I just can't. I can't believe that. Such things. Many classes, even in Christian colleges, do youth come out saying, I know whom I believe. God is great. His grace is sure. Christ Jesus is Lord. Or do they come out saying, I can't believe that. I can't. A pride is installed that lifts itself up over the Word of God. And now perhaps young people and young couples say, well, yeah, we should have membership in the church. That would be good for our kids. But the church that we join, we're going to determine by what kind of energy do they have? What kind of praise band? What, not truth. Is there truth there? No. What kind of impact of social change? How does that church make you feel? Leaving the faith. And then the third peril of the false doctrine that Jude brings out is a life ensnared, controlled by evil. Jude refers to that when he says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The life now has become soiled and dirty and spotted by stains of the flesh. He's referring literally to soiled undergarments. Divorce for any cause, incompatibility, remarriage and remarriage and remarriage, celebrating homosexuality, compromise of all moral issues, the cost of discipleship must be refused. You must not live your life, says the false teacher, for the rule of Christ, but you must ask, what will make me happy? What do I think? And Scripture and love of God tonight to me and to you, Scripture and God warns that often those who once knew the truth grew up in that truth and then reject that truth will fall deeper into the paths of sin than anyone else. That is a principle that runs in Scripture that makes me tremble. The closer, outwardly at least, to the truth and to Christ, and then to reject it, the deeper into sin, as if Satan enjoys soiling the life of those who at one time apparently confessed Jesus Christ. These are the perils of false doctrine. It is true that those three, doubt, turning away from the faith, corrupted lives and sin, occur when the church is also faithful and we bow in humility. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We may, by God's grace, as a congregation, embrace the faith that was once delivered to the saints, but we must remember that just because that is the grace and the blessing of God, you and I are not out of the devil's crosshairs. We are not immune. We have the same flesh. And that is only the truth, the faith, when it is embraced with a believing heart and a humble heart and a personal faith, that only then does that faith stand to give us to stand, give us to be strong. Yet the Bible teaches that false doctrine and false teaching, when it enters into the church, will bring doubt, a rejection of the faith in lives ensnared in sin. That is what Jude brings out to us. Jesus said, "Beware of the teachings of the Pharisee. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." And now in Christianity, the call to sound doctrine sounds to so many ridiculous. Ridiculous. You're calling the church world to sound doctrine? Don't you know that doctrine is the problem? Doctrine has what kept the church from being united. You're splitting hairs. You're keeping us back from standing all together. Don't you see that if we all join together in a general statement, if we find a belt that is big enough to get around the whole stomach of Christianity, and we get all together, we can be so influential in this world, they say, and we can be happy. Is that true? Is that so? Young people, college students, is that true? Get everybody together. Compromise what you need to get together. And then we'll be influential. Is that true? Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the strength of Christ Jesus and the strength of the church is not numbers. It is truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Our hearts must be right with the Lord. He must be our strength. It is through doctrine that we hold fast Christ. And we are the light. The church then is the light in the world. It's because of this peril that Jude is saying to us, you have a responsibility now. Now, what's going to be our response? We don't save others. The response is that we are called, note the word save, and others save, pulling them out of the fire. Save them, pull them out of the fire. Now, that doesn't mean that we save them. We don't save other people any sooner than we save ourselves. But the principle that Jude has before us is that we are instruments in each other's preservation. The preservation of the church is accomplished in the communion of the church. Jude says to us, you must not pass by on the other side. You must not be that Levite or that priest with the Samaritan and walk by the other side, the man who's not the Samaritan stopped. You must not be as the Levite and the priest who walked by that man in his need, but you must be that Samaritan who bound his wounds and poured in ointment. Jude says, they are being deceived. They are inching toward hell. If it's not going to happen to them, it may well happen in the lives of their children. They are in peril. You must contend for the faith. And to contend for the faith is not well. We're safe here. And those churches are just finished. Or we say, but they're not interested. Or we say, it won't work, it won't help. Or we say, with respect to moral issues, well, it's to be expected. Young people drink. They'll outgrow it, won't they? No. God says, Jude writes to you and to me, and says, you must first walk yourself in the way of preservation. Six ways. And now you need to be active in the preservation of fellow Christians and fellow church members. That's your calling. And I want to just read a few passages of God's Word with very little comment, which underscores what Jude's words are. Save some. Pull them out of the fire. We are instruments in each other's preservation. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, which in Lansing, Illinois, in the cemetery on the Sand Hill, is on a tombstone, is on a gravestone. James 5, 19 and 20, the gravestone of a woman who died in 1954, and her husband was an alcoholic, and she died suddenly, and they wrote this on her stone: brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he who converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. That was written by James, who's Jude's brother. And you remember, Jude and James and their brothers did not believe in Jesus. So I wonder how many times Jude and James talked about that very thing, about converting their brothers from the error of their way. Hebrews chapter 3, 12 through 14. Hebrews, you remember, is written to Jewish Christians who, because of persecution, were going back to Judaism. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we, preservation is in the communion of saints, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That goes, consider thyself, that goes with what Jude is saying, hating even the garment spotted with the flesh. When you deal with certain sins in people, you need to be careful for yourself as well. And then Proverbs 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn to death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? If you forbear to deliver those who are drawn to death and those ready to die, the teaching that Jude brings is this. False teaching brings peril. Doubt, renouncing the faith, lives ensnared in sin. We are instruments in the hand of God for one another's preservation. Now, Jude continues, and he says to us, when that's before you now, then you need to exercise discernment. The translation of these two verses, 22 and 23, is exceedingly difficult in the original language, and if you are following our series on the book of Jude by reading commentaries yourself before the service, then you will know that commentators go on and on about the translation of these verses and exactly what is being said. And so I choose the simple approach, which I believe is the right approach. The key word here is making a difference, which means literally making a distinction, or simply using discernment. So Jude is saying to us, not all cases are the same. And that becomes plain when he says, and of some have compassion, and others save with fear. Others pull out of the fire. Others' garments are polluted by the flesh. You need to exercise a wise discernment. Not all cases of apostasy, not all cases of sin are the same. You don't just come with one brush. You don't just use one hammer. But you think. You pray. You seek wisdom from God. Then in the translation, we need to see that that word compassion applies to every instance. Whatever the instance is, we need to use discerning, but we must always have compassion and fear. He refers to fear. Always do this with compassion and reverence for God. And then from the translation, it becomes plain, as we pointed out, that Jude does have three specific cases in mind. Convince those who doubt, having compassion. Save others, pulling them out of the fire, those who are forsaking the faith. And others, garments are polluted. Help them too. They are ensnared in sin. And Jude is saying to us, you must seek to convince them with the Holy Scriptures. And you must be willing at times to confront them with their sin. You have to go after them to convince their mind with the blessed truths of Holy Scripture. And you must love them enough that if they are corrupted in their sin, that you confront them with that sin. Let's look at that. Remembering that God calls us for discernment. Convince, first of all, those who are in doubt, having compassion. They are in doubt, as we said, because of that false teaching. They are being destroyed, Hosea 4:6, because of lack of knowledge. It's not that they do not confess a faith in Jesus Christ, but they have many questions. They cannot discern their right hand from their left spiritually anymore. They've been under this false teaching. Or perhaps there has been a controversy in the church, and because of emotions, they have ended up on the wrong side, doctrinally. And now, they're caught up in that error. What are we to do? Humbly seek to convince them with compassion. Compassion. Which means that we know, we must know and love the Scriptures. That's why verse 20 is before this. Building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. We need to know the Scriptures. And then patiently and honestly explain the Word of God. Do not hesitate. Do not hesitate to do that. Do not say, but I can't do that. Do not say, well, they might well get angry at me and I might lose this friendship. No. Have compassion. Make a difference. In the mercy of God that you have experienced, let that control your heart. Let that control your attitude toward them. Let that control your attitude. Come with a gentle spirit then. You want your doctor to know the difference between a hammer and a scalpel. You don't want your doctor saying, you got a growth on your body, and you say, can you get that? He's holding his hammer and says, boy, can I get that. I will get that. And he swings the hammer, and he gets it. And he gets a whole lot more, too. You need to have a doctor who knows when he must use a scalpel, when he must operate, what he's looking for. He needs to have discernment. And so we who believe that truth by grace, humbly, not of ourselves, God has given us to cherish this truth. We don't just come swinging all the time with a hammer. People are in doubt, question. We seek to come alongside. Time consuming. Matthew 12, verse 20 of Jesus, a bruised reed shall he not break, smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. The next instance is Jude refers to those who are rejecting the faith. They are hardened. They are rebellious. Others, says James, others, save with reverence for God, pulling them out of the fire. Now, Jude is bringing urgency. There is urgency here. When a person's on fire, there's urgency. When they're close to the fire, there's a fire alarm. The fire alarm has to go off. They are standing in rebellion to God's Word. You must come and in love sound an alarm to them. Your words must be direct. Brother, sister, this is the way of unbelief. This is the way of falling away from our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There must be an urgency. There must be a sincerity as our heart moves us to speak. Wake up! The work often of elders. Wake up! Look at what you're doing. What does this say about your confession of the Lord Jesus Christ? It may be that there's a sinful way of life. It may be that teachings, false teachings, are being embraced. Teachings that are going to lead to destruction. Perhaps they're saying, well, you know, there's other ways of salvation than just in Jesus Christ. Love wins. Love will win. Jude says, pull them out of the fire. Pull them out of the fire. That's unbelief. That is unbelief. That's not faith, that's unbelief. Christ alone is the way to the Father, no other way. In love, be direct. Call them in love to forsake. And then number three, those who are ensnared in an addicting, soiled, spotted sin, they are corrupted by the flesh. In fear come to them. The consequences of their sin are around them. And here, Jude is emphasizing not urgency, but he's emphasizing purity. He says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. In other words, he's saying there's a concern here about purity. Perhaps the sin in which the person has fallen has made this person very manipulative. Perhaps the sin in which this person has fallen, because even talking to them poses to you certain dangers of your own flesh. Of your own flesh. You need to go there with reference to God. You need to be very careful. You might decide that all I can do for this person now is pray for them. But you don't give up. You do not give up. You do not despair of God's mercy for that person. You trust the mercy of God, which has saved you, that mercy can yet reach out and reclaim them to the Lord. Use discernment. And do this out of the motive of love and humility. The love comes out in the text when Jude doesn't say that explicitly, but he makes that implicit when he says, having compassion. And the humility comes out when he says, in fear. Do this in fear of God. Humility. Sound doctrine teaches us that salvation is all of God's mercy. And so we go to someone out of love. A love that desires God to be glorified, and God to be glorified in my fellow church members who I want them to walk in the truth. I want them to enjoy the peace and the joy of the truth. I don't want to see them falling into doubt. I do not want to see them, their life miserable and burnt out, which will happen. Which will happen when the truth leaves the church. So we go in love for the glory of God, and we go in humility, in deepest humility. We do not leave the impression, I'm a rock. I would never. Let me tell you. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But we go and we talk to them of another. We talk to them of God, who is able. That's the next part here. We peek ahead to those beautiful verses 24 and 25. God who is able. It is God who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before His presence. It's all of God. It's all of God. And that love and that humility with which we go will make us depend on the Spirit of grace. For it is only the Spirit of grace that can preserve us. The root, young people, the root of false doctrine is not a weak mind. That we confess the truth doesn't mean that we have a stronger mind. The root of false doctrine is not a weak mind. False teachers can be very intelligent. The root of false doctrine is a proud heart. It's a proud heart. We can understand that. A proud heart, my proud heart, seeks to justify what my flesh wants. That's exactly what Jude said is behind the false teacher. They justify what their flesh wants. False doctrine arises from proud hearts. That's the formula for false doctrine. A proud heart. Not a gifted intellect. A proud heart. Therefore, the battle for the faith is not just a battle to be fought in ideas and words and thoughts, but it's a battle that is fought in the heart of a person. It's fought in the heart. And there we need the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so we will pray. And we will pray for each other. And we will walk in humility. How we contend for the faith among those who depart, how we do that is as important as the content of the faith we believe. We can win an argument, but then we can lose when our hearts are not right with the Lord and our lives do not testify of the truth that we pray them to embrace. We are called of Christ to preserve one another with truth and love. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Word. We pray that we may know more of the Word. We pray that the Word may fill our hearts and give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.